I will be reading from John 4, verses 1 through 30. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard, Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John. Although it was not Jesus himself, but the disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask me, a woman of Samaria, for a drink?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob? Where do you get that living water? Jacob gave us a well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband.' You have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on the mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you worship God, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth, for God seeks such as these to worship. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want? Or why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left with her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Let us pray. Gracious God, unfold the story of the well to us in ways we've never seen it before. May the words of our mouths and the meditation of our heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Hear us now. Speak through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Marilyn, good morning.
Good morning, Susan.
You recently spoke to a group of disciples women in Kentucky about the woman at the well. I understand that the women were very encouraged and empowered by your presentation. What do you believe was so meaningful in your message that it stirred such a response?
Well, Susan and congregation, everything, the feedback that I got from the women was that, Marilyn, you came to us just the way we were. Your presentation was down to earth. And so, Covenant, what I did, I did a total different twist on that scripture. I rolled right on in with my little card, and it was covered. I had a nice little tablecloth over it. And then when I took the tablecloth off, Susan, here is a shaker to mix my drinks. Here is the bottle. And I had this invisible, I'll say imaginary,
okay,
guy that sat there beside me, and he asked me for a drink. So, you know, I'm in Kentucky. So I said, what is your flavor? So I have this good friend of mine that from Covenant that's from Kentucky. So I had already asked her, what kind of drinks do they have? What kind of drinks? What's Kentucky known for? Bourbon, all this stuff. So I just started naming out all of these drinks. And he was looking past me, at me. Susan, something was wrong. So I said, it looks like to me that you take it straight with no chaser.
Amen.
Straight with no chaser. Mm. And the women said they never really understood that passage the way it was read. Jesus had, scripture says, he had to go to Samaria. Mm-hmm. And so I broke it down to them. My friends were there with me, more my co-workers, because you can't really say they were friends. My co-workers were there with me. We had gone to lunch. Yet instead of inviting me to join them, they got their table, and I sat at the bar. That's where I met this guy, at the bar. But the funny thing about it, I got my food before they did, because I was sitting at the bar. I got the richness of everything because I was sitting at the bar. So they yak.
Mm-hmm.
But I got all the blessings before they did because I was sitting at the bar. And the bar was the well.
Well, it sounds to me, Marilyn, like the woman at the well.
Mm-hmm.
Started a fire.
She started a fire.
With her water bottle.
With her water bottle. Yes, she did.
And the focus was not really on her.
Not on her at all.
But on giving water. Mm-hmm. Giving community. Acceptance,
yes.
And community.
Mm-hmm.
The well was community, right?
The well was a community.
Well, historically, the well is a symbol of community. Jeffrey Bordelon, founder and director of Placer Sustain, a nonprofit organization in Placer County, California, dedicated to connecting people and inspiring collaboration to build healthy communities and thriving local economies, said this. In ancient times, the well was both symbolically and often literally located at the center of the community. From the well, the community drew water, the basic sustenance for life. Metaphorically, the well represented all the social resources of the community that were necessary to endure and thrive.
Right.
If the well fell into disrepair, if the water was polluted or diminished in quantity, the community suffered.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Everyone depended on and drew from the well, regardless of their race, gender, or cultural heritage. Bordelon went on to say, a well that is pure, abundant, and fully used by the community is a symbol of a healthy community. The circumstances states that in such a community, there is an abundance of resources that are being fully utilized. Conditions of harmony prevail, and there is unity of purpose. So, Marilyn, I keep going back to everyone depended and drank from the well.
But see, everyone came to the well for a purpose. And if we bring it to today's time, we all are thirsty. And our thirst may not be to quench the thirst of being thirsty for water. The thirst could be that people are hurting.
Right.
People are hungry. People are in we're in desperate times. People are depressed, financially strapped. They're lonely. They're feel like they're hopeless. Moral injury.
Right.
And I see anger and bitter. And even now, this is crazy. Because sometimes I'm afraid to just blow my horn or tap my horn to let them know the person in front, the light has changed, because I don't know what's going to happen. So I wait patiently until they realize, or the person behind me toots the horn, because people are angry.
Right.
And so the well, that community, people need that. That we thirst. We thirst for that. There's so much low self-esteem. There's lack of confidence. And there are people, Susan, that really don't know where they fit in.
That's true.
But I ask, where is the community?
Well, Marilyn, the church is community.
Really?
The church is the well.
Mm.
Okay? Do you get where we're going with this? The church is the well. The church is the community. The uniqueness of our scripture text is that it offers multiple viewpoints.
Yes.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And I encourage us to look beyond the text that is commonly and literally interpreted, to see with a wide scope angle of view.
Well, you know, if you asked anybody that knows anything, or just even a little bit about the Bible, and you say, well, the Samaritan woman, they're not going to know the Samaritan woman. But if you say the woman at the well, the first thing they're going to say, oh, yeah, that was the prostitute. But the scripture does not tell us that. There is nowhere in the scripture that it says that she was a prostitute. Did you not think that maybe the scripture was saying that she was at the well for what reason? So culturally, back in the times, Jesus said, you've got five husbands. Well, she had a husband. She married that husband. He died. Then she had to marry his brother. This is culture time. She had to marry his brother. That brother died. She had to marry the next brother. And we don't know if it went on to the nephew or anything, but the culture was she ended up having five husbands. And she said, you're right. I have five husbands. But my whole point there is we didn't look at it. We didn't focus on what was really there. They focused on the woman. The focus should have been on the conversation at the well. Jesus was there, a man, a woman of a different culture, and they had a conversation. Not only did they both give, but they both receive. And so I support that covenant. Covenant is a well. I believe in my heart that covenant is the well to the community. And each one of us are part of that community. We are called covenant. Individually, we thirst. And I said something in the 9 o'clock worship service that it's probably going to get me in trouble. But I'm going to say it again. I thirst, because most of you know that sometimes I'm not here. But I thirst because I'm waiting for that bald head preacher of mine, that pastor of mine, to tell me something new, good news, make me think, make me say, And so, you know, because there's a halo around Pastor Chris. And it, yeah, and it reflects off, that spirit reflects off. But what I'm trying to say, I thirst for the word that he's trying to give me, the word that is, he's just not up here talking. He studied hard, but he's given me, he's quenching the thirst that I need at that very moment. So do you see the uniqueness of the text, Susan?
I do.
I mean, we are called for responsibilities individually, even within our church. We are disciples of Christ, a movement for wholeness in a fragmented world. I'm tired of saying that. I'm ready for some action.
Amen.
Straight.
No chasing.
No chasing.
I think they're ready.
I think they're ready.
Would you say with me?
Straight.
Straight.
No chasing.
As disciples, we have stated here at Covenant that we want to build a bigger table. Essentially, we want to enlarge our borders, make
yes.
more room, expand our territory, create more space, to include a baptistry, of course.
Yes, we want a baptistry.
We are saying, as a living well, we want to grow. We want to make space for all who want to enter in. We have something to offer the community.
Yes.
And I believe that we do. My questions for us this morning are, have we considered the consequences?
All right.
And are we truly committed to building a bigger table?
Well, Susan, what are you really trying to say?
Straight?
No chaser.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I am kind of known for being direct.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Straight.
Straight.
No chaser. My concern is, have we seriously considered the consequences?
Mm.
There is a cause and effect response to change. As disciples, we are part of the one body of Christ. And we welcome all to the Lord's table as God has welcomed us. It's easy to say, we're disciples. Of course, everyone is welcome to the table. But are we truly willing to receive those in need and respond outside our comfort zone with our time and our resources? People come broken, Marilyn.
Yes, they do.
They come sometimes smelly
yes, they do.
And lonely
yes,
and depressed
and needy.
If it's easy to feed hungry people food. It's easy to offer blankets
yes.
to people who are cold or get them a few nights at a motel for someone who has no place to lay their head.
Right.
That's easy.
Mm.
But what about the need that requires a long-term direct response?
Yes, yes, yes.
Will we be the hands that give living water?
Mm.
For example, and this is where it's tender.
Okay?
This is where it's tender. But right now, Covenant is looking to hire a part-time childcare worker. And I'm glad that we do have the resources to do that. But that's not my point.
Okay, so what's your point then? Straight.
No chaser. We are looking for help because only a few people are willing to volunteer in the nursery. We want to build a bigger table, but essentially no one wants to volunteer to care for our own children.
Okay.
If we will not give them a cup of living water, how do we see ourselves meeting the needs of a larger congregation?
How do we do it?
I'm telling you, our level of commitment, service, and personal sacrifice has to rise above the height of our dream of building a bigger table.
Yes.
We've got to take our turns and share the load. We must prepare our hearts and minds, or we will not be ready for the growth we say we want.
Yeah.
Building a bigger table is the second step.
Okay. All right. Okay.
The first step is that we must be people of the well, offering living water.
Yes.
We must be Christ present and ready to serve for the long haul.
Yes.
Because people, when they hear that we are the real deal,
the straight church,
given living water,
yes.
They will come to quench their thirst of injustice, brokenness, and pain.
Yes.
Some will join us in ministry. Bob said we have 11 ministers, or 10 ministers, and we'll have more. You're going to be ordained on April the 7th. People will come.
Yeah.
LGBTQ, all races, needs, shapes, sizes, ages, and faith groups, and genders. All people.
And you know, we as members of covenant, literally we are the woman at the well. Because what did she do? It's not that she did not know God, remember? Because she said, can this man be the Messiah? She ran and she told somebody. So it's not just lip service. We have to act. We have to literally go out and not just invite people to come, have people to say, where do you go to church? That's it. Not will you come to my church, but where do you go to church? Because that you have, that fire, I want some of that. And then they will come. So, Susan, they will know that covenant is the church of the community, where literally we open up our arms and our hearts for everyone.
The people in need require care,
time and attention. Your time, our time, and attention.
Yes.
We are a warm and welcoming church. I remember when I came, it was like being embraced. I've often said it, you've heard me say it before, in a big giant blanket. But Covenant, there is a difference between being a welcoming church and an affirming one.
Yes.
Jesus reached out to the Samaritan woman. She reached back, and he affirmed her and gave her God's gift, living water. Are you willing to reach out beyond yourself and help someone else? People who love one another create space for each other.
Yes.
People in need require care. They require love. They require our presence.
Yes.
Are you willing to affirm all people and not just tolerate them, but embrace them?
That's what God requires of us, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with him. The answer is at the well. The answer is the well. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, just come to the fountain. Dip your hearts in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be just washed away. Love, covenant love, in the waves of his mercy, Susan. It's deep. God's mercy is deep, just like the well is deep. And simply just say, come, Lord Jesus, come. All who are thirsty, all who are lonely, all who are weary, come. Covenant, open up your arms, your heart. Run and tell somebody about the love of Jesus. And just simply say, come. Lord Jesus, come. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.